After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. A pastor's son was told by his mother that he should wash his hands after playing outside one day because of all the germs that would be on his hands. He refused and complained, "Germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I ever hear around this house, and I've never seen either one." Germs and Jesus. We're in the middle of a teaching series on this idea of faith. And as we study how biblical faith has matured from the beginning of the Old Testament through the Old Testament and now into the New Testament, our faith can mature as well as we talk about these things. And our understanding of faith can become more full and healthy. We are learning about faith in God, our faith, and what that means in our everyday living. The first week, we learned that faith is not simply believing that something is true. It's being prepared to act upon that belief and relying upon it. Now, if you remember right, I used Luther's analogy. And his analogy was, in part, that faith is not simply about believing that a ship exists. Do you remember what I'm talking about here? Faith is not simply about believing that a ship exists. It's about stepping onto the ship. It's about entrusting ourselves to the ship. Well, the next week, to our definition of faith, we added the examples of Noah and Abraham and their obedience and repentance, and how they made God and His will the absolute center of their lives and all that they lived for. We discussed how we need to ask ourselves what that one thing is that we believe we cannot live without. What is that one thing that you believe you cannot live without? Maybe that we would just literally die or be lost without it. What is it? That one thing. Maybe it's our children. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's the bottle. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's many things. What is that one thing? Maybe it's our independence. What is that one thing that we believe that we could not do without? God asks us to give Him that one thing, so God can be the absolute center of our life. So that God's will is the only will that we live by. Now, these two ideas are the foundation of our faith. Then we learned from the Israelite people that God began using the idea of a leader, a chosen mediator of God, to lead His people. We also learn that faith is not a static condition of life or consciousness, but a dynamic activity of the mind, of the whole body, the mind, heart, and will. It's not a virtue that's perfectly attained, but a commitment to be continually renewed. It's not so much a human achievement as it is a response to God's grace. I hope some of this is ringing your memory bells just a little bit as we go through them.